Chapter 15. The History of Wicca. Part 4. By way of review to better learn the information, we've seen that the definition of Wicca is witchcraft. Those practicing it want us to believe it's not witchcraft, but it is. There are many types of witchcraft and it is all over the world. The protection from it is only through Christians relying on the power of Jesus to exterminate evil. Witchcraft is nothing new, as we've seen in our exploration of its historical journey, as it spread around the world. It's the same old-fashioned occult behavior that began after Noah's flood at the Tower of Babel. Those occultists and witches were dispersed when God confused the language. That migration led to witchcraft infecting Egypt and then Greece, followed by Rome, Asia, India and the nearby island countries, Africa, Latin America, and Europe. Europe is where North America got a lot of our modern witchcraft that was relabeled and repackaged as Wicca. We looked at the history of Wicca witchcraft and how it got to be commonplace in the United States. It was begun by the grandmother of Wicca, Margaret Murray, and then advanced by the grandfather of Wicca, Gerald Gardner, who came up with his Book of Shadows and Gardnerian Wicca. His cohort, Doreen Baliente, who is considered the mother of Wicca, carried it forward, after which Raymond Buckland, the father of Wicca, established Wicca on the East Coast. Around the same time frame, Sybil Leek, known as the celebrity of Wicca, moved to the West Coast and helped popularize it there, as well as across our country through the willing promotion of our media. We saw how celebrities from television, movies, sports, and politics have also advanced witchcraft. Just as Super Bowl football star Tom Brady has done through his wife's witchcraft, like the Democrat, Party does every day. That's because they've been so heavily infiltrated with occult practices. Then we talked about Alex Sanders, Alexandrian Wicca, who is considered the king of witches. Sanders was representative of the eclectic nature of witchcraft practices, similar to the New Age movement because of how witches can pick and choose from a huge variety of methods, beliefs, and spiritual reality, playing God while ignoring the real God. Frankly, the Alexandrian version of Wicca witchcraft is extra rotten. All witchcraft is bad, but we saw him flat out worshipping Satan on film with his left hand path, versus the right hand path, of witchcraft that gets into black magic. He combined Abramelin magic with Aleister Crowley's methods that included sex magic. Sanders came out with his witchcraft documentary right after the motion picture production code was scrapped, in favor of our present-day movie rating system. From that point when Hollywood became unfiltered, we saw a massive influx of occult movies and that's when Sanders' popularity began to take off. From there, Wicca witchcraft was advanced by Lori Cabot, who is still alive and, unfortunately, continues to promote witchcraft. She burrowed deep into witchcraft after two failed relationships with men, deciding to promote witchcraft as in a sort of earth science. Through that approach, she has been successful in convincing many that witchcraft is just a science, which supposedly contributes to the good of humankind as she does not like to say mankind. However, no matter how they are described, these occult practices are still evil witchcraft. Cabot has a huge number of books she has written to promote occult witchcraft. She has also been involved in the business of witchcraft shops and an annual international event called the Witch's Costume Ball. Cabot also started the Witches League and even advocated witchcraft in politics through her post on the Salem, Massachusetts, Chamber of Commerce Board and running for mayor of Salem. Democratic presidential nominee, Michael Dukakis, called her the official witch of Salem, like that is an honorable title. All that helped the practice of witchcraft to really grow in the United States as a lot of anti-witchcraft court cases and rules were loosened or done away with. Now, in her 80s, Cabot is still advocating for witchcraft today. In this chapter we are going to take a look at the Dianic Wicca movement, which is another way witchcraft is being promoted today. We are going to see that Dianic Wicca came straight out of, and is synonymous with, the feminist movement. You might think that is too strong of an accusation, but wait until we get through the details that I'm going to give you in this chapter. Dianic witchcraft is all about the feminist movement. And the proof comes straight from witches themselves. The feminist movement is a smokescreen to, not only suck women into anti-God and anti-biblical teachings, but also with the ultimate goal of having them practice witchcraft. Before we get into that proof, can you imagine how hard I have been praying, fasting, and greatly struggling to find another Bible passage that warns against witchcraft? It was no trouble at all because warnings against witchcraft are all over the Bible. Let's go to 2 Kings 17:7-20, which is yet another passage from God that tells us not to get involved in this stuff. What we are going to see in this passage is the reason why God exiled the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel, all 12 tribes. The 10 northern kingdoms of Israel went into exile at the hands of the Assyrians, while the southern two, Judah and Benjamin, stayed around a bit longer but eventually saw the same fate through their Babylonian exile. With 2 Kings 17, we're going to see the reason God eventually sent all the tribes of Israel off their land and took everything away from them. Let's take a look.
All this took place because the Israelites had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of Egypt from under the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt.
From our earlier study of Egypt, what were they heavily involved with? Unfortunately, they did not let it go.
They worshipped other gods and followed the practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before them, as well as the practices that the kings of Israel had introduced. The Israelites secretly did things against the Lord their God that were not right.
Isn't that just like the enemy? You think you are getting away with something, as if God is blind or can't see in the dark or when you close a door. Now, what was it that these people did in secret? Here it is, and remember, the high places were where they worshipped their false gods.
From watchtower to fortified city, they built themselves high places in all their towns. They set up sacred stones and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every spreading tree. At every high place they burned incense, as the nations whom the Lord had driven out before them had done. They did wicked things that aroused the Lord's anger. They worshipped idols, though the Lord had said, "You shall not do this." The Lord warned Israel and Judah through all his prophets and seers, "Turn from your evil ways. Observe my commands and decrees in accordance with the entire law that I commanded your ancestors to obey and that I delivered to you through my servants the prophets." But they would not listen and were as stiff-necked as their ancestors.
You don't ever want to be stiff-necked against God. If he tells you to do something, remember that all of his commands are for our good. Name one command in the scripture that works against our better interests. How many are there like that? It rhymes with none. So, if God says it, why in the world would we not listen? Yet, these people not only didn't listen, but they also repeatedly refused to and actually told God, no.
But they would not listen and were as stiff-necked as their ancestors, who did not trust in the Lord their God. They rejected his decrees and the covenant he had made with their ancestors and the statutes he had warned them to keep. They followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. They imitated the nations around them although the Lord had ordered them, "Do not do as they do." They forsook all the commands of the Lord their God and made for themselves two idols cast in the shape of calves and an Asherah pole. They bowed down to all the starry hosts, and they worshipped Baal. They sacrificed their sons and daughters in the fire.
For their own gain, that was the time when these people were casting their live children into the burning arms of the giant Moloch idol. Unfortunately, as we have seen throughout witchcraft's history, those are the same atrocities that still go on to this day with the occult's murderous sacrifices to their demons and Satan. And the motivation for individual gain is why they still do those kinds of heinous acts in our time. It's sick.
They practiced divination and sorcery and sold themselves to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger. So, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his presence. Only the tribe of Judah was left, and even Judah did not keep the commands of the Lord their God. They followed the practices Israel had introduced. Therefore, the Lord rejected all the people of Israel, he afflicted them and gave them into the hands of plunderers, until he thrust them from his presence.
I think that's pretty blunt, right? Again, why did God send both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdoms, all 12 tribes, into exile, causing them to lose their land and everything else? God says specifically why, it wasn't just because they sinned. God was judging them on their occult practices like false worship, demonic aspects, witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. In fact, he warned them over and over by sending the prophets. It wasn't just one prophet that passed through one day saying, "Hey, guys, you need to repent and stop doing this." God repeatedly warned those people. If you add up the years, you can see how God was long-suffering for them. He is very patient. He was asking them to please turn around from their wicked ways. But they kept at it anyway. So, they couldn't say he didn't give them enough notice. And what about Judah, who kept their land quite a bit longer? Didn't they see what happened with their brothers to the north? Yes, they did, but stiff-necked Judah kept pursuing evil. And I hope that is not us today. Here's my point, If God didn't like those vile practices then, so much so that he sent his people into exile, losing their nation, freedom, and everything they owned, do you think he likes that behavior today? No, and I'm not saying we're Israel, but as a secondary application, if our country continues to go down this route, glamorizing, accepting, and promoting witchcraft, what do you think is going to happen to us? The same outcome is what we face. Now, I want to take a closer look at another way witchcraft, unfortunately, is being accepted, popularized, and even promoted today, which is Dianic Wicca and how it closely relates to feminism. Believe it or not, that practice is not just leading people into bondage, I think it is part of the destruction of our country. The video transcript I'm about to share with you is a short description of Dianic Wicca and it comes from the witches themselves. So, no one can say we are making an unfair comparison when we say that Dianic Wicca comes straight out of the feminist movement. They admit it themselves. Let's take a look at this short description of a Dianic witch.
Dianic witches predominantly focus on feminism and the supremacy of the goddess. As it grew out of the women's movement in the United States, Dianic witches are attuned to the political and social oppression of women, as well as the injustices they suffer within their gender. The hierarchical structure is quite lax and fluid, while allowing for growth along one's own path. Originally created by Zsuzsanna Budapest in the 1970s, any coven derived from the original lineage remains female only.
What is the key phrase there? It is female only, and they use it because they view man as horrible, so they have to be excluded from their group. Now, we are using this entire chapter to deal with the topic of Dianic Wicca's feminist movement because there is a lot to cover with it. Two of the subtopics are their basic beliefs and practices. Then we're going to look at one of their major leaders, who were the first to begin combining witchcraft and feminism. Believe it or not, Dianic Wicca witchcraft and feminism are really just one movement. Then we'll see what those aspects have to do with future events and where we're at today with this movement. First, let's talk about the beliefs and practices of this thing called Dianic Wicca, which this secular article calls witchcraft.
Dianic Wicca, also known as Dianic witchcraft.
Let me repeat that again, Dianic witchcraft. What's the huge misnomer out there about Wicca? Those involved keep trying to convince us that it is not witchcraft. We're supposed to believe it's just nice people appreciating and worshipping nature, which they claim is so important in our day because of climate change. But their description is not true. Instead, Wicca is just plain old witchcraft.
Dianic Wicca, also known as Dianic witchcraft, is a neo-pagan religion and female-centered goddess ritual and tradition.
Dianic Wicca differs from most of Wicca because the followers will only worship a goddess and men are not allowed to join. Most of the other Wiccan covens and branches worship the dual deities of the male horned god and then the female mother goddess. But this Dianic witchcraft is all female. And here is one lady, who promotes it. We'll talk in much more detail about Zsuzsanna Budapest, not her real name, who founded Dianic Wicca in 1970 and named her movement after the Roman goddess Diana. Besides worship of the goddess, Diana, they will actually worship any female goddess of any culture, as long as it is a feminine deity. They claim the goddess is the source of all living beings because it is women that birth the babies. Last time I checked, they are right in that we all came from a mom. However, they go too far beyond that to claim it means women have the real power. It is the feminist message they've woven together with witchcraft.
Dianic covens practice magic in the form of mediation and visualization in addition to spell work. They focus especially on healing themselves from the wounds of the patriarchy, male domination, while affirming their own womanhood.
So, they must band together as ladies to perform witchcraft on each other to heal themselves from the ravages of those horrible men.
Rituals can include reenacting religious and spiritual lore from a female-centered standpoint, celebrating the female body, and mourning society's abuses of women. The practice of magic is rooted in the belief that energy or life force can be directed to enact change.
Apparently, women need to rid themselves of any male-dominating influence. Here they at least admit it.
However, it is important to note that rituals are often improvised to suit individual or group needs and vary from coven to coven. Some Dianic Wiccans abstain from manipulative spell work and hexing because it goes against the Wiccan reed.
Remember what Wiccans claim to believe and practice, they can do anything they want, if it doesn't harm others. Yet, in the actual practice of that supposed belief, they become completely hypocritical. For example, In the last chapter, we read about the witch who was on television showing the hosts and their female viewers how to get back at a guy through witchcraft. How is that not harming someone? Also, just because we have been teaching about witchcraft, the chat boards have witches purposely putting hexes and curses on us. How is that characterized as harming none? It is hypocritical, but at least the Dianic version admits it. In fact, here is more of what they say.
However, many other Dianic witches, notably Budapest, do not consider hexing or binding of those who attack women or otherwise go against their Wiccan reed to be wrong and actively encourage the binding of rapists.
So, they don't even live up to their own rituals.
Like other Wiccans, Dianics may form covens, attend festivals, celebrate the eight major Wiccan holidays, and gather on Esbats, Shabbats, and other events. They use many of the same altar tools, rituals, and vocabulary as other Wiccans.
Again, when compared to much of the rest of Wicca, Dianic Wiccans accept only women witches and the worship of only a female goddess. It's all about women, and men are bad. In fact, their attitude toward men is that the guys better watch themselves or the witches are going to get them. That's really what it's all about. And what does that sound exactly like? It's the feminist movement, which came out of Dianic Wicca, as we'll see in a minute.
When asked why men and gods are excluded from her rituals, Budapest stated, "It's the natural law, as women fare so fares the world, their children, and that's everybody. If you lift up the women, you have lifted up humanity."
So, they are claiming any real power comes from women, which is the way it should be, instead of from men. And they even admit that this witchcraft practice of Dianic Wicca came out of the women's liberation and feminism movements.
Dianic Wicca developed from the women's liberation movement, and covens traditionally compare themselves with radical feminism.
That's a direct quote, so you can see that I'm not making this comparison up. I'm not trying to portray it in an unfair light. They admit it themselves. In fact, here is a witch admitting that the feminist movement came from witchcraft.
Narrator witch.
"It really wasn't until 1893 with Matilda Jocelyn Gage, an American suffragist. She wrote a book called Women, Church, and State. It reframed the European witch hunts as a misogynistic attempt by the church and state to police female sexuality, women's bodies, and women's reproductive function. That is, to my knowledge, the first time the word witch was used in a positive way. And the funny thing about her is that her son-in-law was L. Frank Baum, who wrote The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. He was inspired by her writing to conceive of the witch as not only evil, but also good. So, we have these polarities of the good witch and the bad witch, which then goes into the MGM film and sets the stage for the way we view witches forever, pretty much."
In a scene from The Wizard of Oz, the Wicked Witch of the West speaks to Dorothy while Glinda the Good Witch stands behind Dorothy, "I'll get you, my pretty. And your little dog, too." Narrator witch.
"And then you have the movie I Married a Witch, in the 1940s, a sort of a more light-hearted view of them. There are blonde witches, you know. They are glamorous. And then there was Belle, Book and Candle, a movie with Jimmy Stewart and Kim Novak, in the late 50s. And then Bewitched, the popular television show in the early 60s, coincides right when Betty Friedan is putting out the feminine mystique popular book. So, Bewitched is kind of, you know, talking about the plight of the white middle-class housewife, just like Betty Friedan's book, and the women's liberation movement is, sort of, bubbling under the surface and culture at the time. And with Bewitched, I think a few episodes were written by a self-professed feminist, Barbara Avidan. So, there were actual real early feminist leanings in there. And, you know, the way Elizabeth Montgomery's character from Bewitched uses magic, is like the way early feminist thought could be conceived, like, Samantha's husband, Darren, is really annoyed and always frustrated she's using this magical power. It is like something he cannot access, and he can't control. And it gives her agency. Even though, you know, it's kind of like a fluffy, funny show, there are some little radical currents in there that I think are picked up and expressed more explicitly in later films in the 70s, 80s, 90s, etc.
In a scene from Bewitched, Samantha says this to her husband, Darren.
"You're a big, dumb head.
You're calling me names now?"
My favorite representations of the witch is pretty recent, actually. The Witch, by Robert Eggers, was a fantastic horror film that really used period lighting and period text to inform how people viewed witches at the time. And then the Love Witch movie, by Anna Biller, is a sort of saturated, colorful meditation on sex magic and female sexuality and sort of the world through the female gaze.
A concerned-looking man asks the Love Witch,
"What was in that drink you gave me?"
And the Love Witch was probably thinking, "Oh, you'll find out soon enough, you bad, evil man." That narration was straight from a witch who readily admits her malevolent motivation toward men. And it came straight out of feminism. Combining the two is really a smokescreen to get our ladies involved with witchcraft. And notice how Hollywood is always there to warm us up to occult and witchcraft beliefs and practices. As far back as the Wizard of Oz book that was turned into a monumentally influential movie, it turns out the book's writer was a relative of the popular feminist writer. In that book, he decided to break the mold by describing some witches, and their occult witchcraft, as good. It is fiction, but he put out the idea that there are bad witches, as well as good ones. And that idea took off from there. So, once again, there is Hollywood right there in our face, helping to promote the occult. And that is not all they are promoting, as we see here.
Dianics pride themselves on the inclusion of lesbian and bisexual members. It is a goal within many covens to explore female sexuality and sensuality outside of male control, and many rituals function to affirm lesbian sexuality, making it a popular tradition for women who have come out. Some covens exclusively consist of same-sex-oriented women and advocate lesbian separatism.
It's an all-women movement, all the way around and all the time. That's because men are bad, which fits with the exact same feminism belief. So, that's a bit of their beliefs and practices. Now, let's talk about one of their most prominent leaders, the one attributed with founding Dianic Wicca, which is also known as feminist witchcraft. Again, Zsuzsanna Budapest is not her real name, which is Zsuzsanna Amiz Muxay. You can see why she chose Budapest. Like Lori Cabot, she is still alive today. Part of the reason she chose Budapest is because she was born in Budapest, Hungary, in 1940.
Zsuzsanna Amiz Muxay, born the 30th of January 1940 in Budapest, Hungary, is a Hungarian author, activist, journalist, playwright, and songwriter living in America who writes about feminist spirituality.
Even today, when you hear or see the terms women's spirituality or feminist spirituality, those just mean witchcraft, which is why the women sucked into following that belief system are led to witchcraft.
Zsuzsanna Amiz Muxay writes about feminist spirituality and Dianic Wicca under the pen name Zsuzsanna Budapest or Zed Budapest. Dianic Wicca began on the winter solstice of 1971, when Budapest led a ceremony in Hollywood, California. Self-identifying as a hereditary witch, and claiming to have learned folk magic from her mother, Budapest is frequently considered the mother of modern Dianic Wiccan, feminist witchcraft, tradition.
So, she is the underpinning of feminist witchcraft. She was also the founder of the Susan B. Anthony Coven in 1971. You may know that was another woman suffragette movement, which tells you again that Budapest was combining feminism and witchcraft. Those terms are one and the same. Budapest also founded and directs the Women's Spirituality Forum. Let me translate that for you, the Women's Witchcraft Forum.
Budapest was the lead of a cable TV show called 13th Heaven. Her play The Rise of the Fates, as in the mythology of witches, premiered in Los Angeles in the mid-70s. She is the composer of several songs including We All Come from the Goddess. She lives near Santa Cruz, California.
Back in the day, I'd gone to Santa Cruz several times for pastors' conferences. If you've been there too, you know it's a beautiful place right by the ocean with a lot of wooded area. And in those woods, unfortunately, there is a whole lot of witchcraft going on. In fact, I'm going to go back to the very first chapter of this book for another look at a video transcript I shared with you. It actually involves Zsuzsanna Budapest's women's spirituality movement. As you read it again, this time you'll clearly understand what is going on with phrases like, "the goddess is alive." You will know who she's talking about. When they mention the circle of women and the magic they are creating, you'll understand what they mean. So, one more time, this is Budapest in action claiming it is about women's spirituality, rather than witchcraft, which you know is untrue.
A younger Zsuzsanna Budapest speaking to the camera. The women's movement today is being called the women's spirituality movement in great part. And that is because it's not just concentrating on areas of social and political reform, but it's looking hard and fast at spiritual reform. Women are gathering today in circles, just as their 1960 counterparts did in consciousness-raising circles. But now, they are not just knocking down that door to a man's world, asking for entrance. Instead, they are looking at the myths, spiritual beliefs, religions, values, everything that runs our culture, everything that feeds our souls. We are going to take a look at the women's spirituality movement as it's been called by the women participating in it, who are weaving new stories of a returning goddess. They believe she's back on the planet, alive and well, and she could do a lot for you. The video shows a witches group meeting somewhere in the woods around a female goddess figure they fashioned out of plants. A more elderly Zsuzsanna Budapest says, "The goddess is alive." Group response, "Magic is afoot." Budapest yells, "The goddess is alive." Group yells back, "Magic is afoot." The witches are shown dancing in a circle, clapping, and playing bongos, as well as other instruments. Witch, what the goddess means to me is wholeness and peace. Second witch, the goddess means to me, my internal strength. She has come to me and shown me the beauty that is within myself. Third witch, the goddess is my voice. She is my self-empowerment. She is my self-respect. As a result, my life has really undergone some major transformations, not only creatively, but in the pathway that I have now started to take. And I have the works of Z. Budapest to thank for that. Budapest is shown with the witches in a half circle as she loudly proclaims, "The goddess is alive," over and over. The group of witches respond each time with, "Magic is afoot."
Actually, the goddess is a lie. What was going on there? The pitch is that it is just a group of feminists getting together. However, having learned as much as you have, what is really going on there? Who's the goddess? What is this circle they create when chanting and dancing? If you saw the video, you'd also see candles. Those are all witch practices. Here's more on Z. Budapest, feminist witch name. Her mother, Masika Shalagi, was a medium and her grandmother, Ilona, was an herbalist and healer. Budapest had her first psychic experience at age 3, which was an apparition of Ilona at the time of Ilona's death. Hey, that's because television is right when it keeps showing dead people coming back to talk with their living relatives, right? No. That's also a lie. What did 3-year-old Budapest see? It's called a familiar spirit and that's a demon. So, here an encounter may have happened, so I won't discount that, but that wasn't your grandma, Miss Budapest. Unfortunately, it was a demon duping you. The Bible is very clear, when we die, as Christians, we go to heaven. Do we come back? No. And if we are not Christian at death, we go to hell. And there is no coming back from that either. We can't travel back and forth. Something can appear to us and even look or sound like our loved one, but it is just the same old familiar spirit, one of the demons the Bible warns us about.
In childhood, Budapest appreciated nature, playing priestess and conducting her own rituals. She began her practice as a solitary, worshipping the goddess at a home altar.
She eventually got married to a guy named Tom and moved to New York with him, but it ended in 1970. Like Lori Cabot, who had 2 failed relationships with men, Budapest also had a failed relationship which became a catalyst to avoid future relationships with men. I don't know those guys in either woman's case or they very well could have been bad men, but that doesn't mean all men should be avoided by women for relationships. After that, Budapest went to California and started developing her feminist, anti-man, and female-only witchcraft.
Budapest saw a need to develop a female-centered theology that not only would help women but would answer opponents of the feminist movement who claimed that feminism was against God.
She began to spiritualize her witchcraft feminism as a supposedly legitimate religion. There in California, it began to take off, so she held Shabbats where the women would gather to do their rituals.
The Shabbats were looked upon as the crushing of an oppressive and aggressive patriarchy male system.
Hey, I wish she would have met a guy to have a better relationship with, but it should not have meant her swearing off all men.
Within 9 years, membership was at 700, and sister covens had formed across the country. For 10 years, Budapest led Shabbats and full moon circles, initiating priestesses and teaching women to bless each other and connect with the goddess through Mother Nature.
Speaking of so-called Mother Nature, we could do a whole study just on the environmental movement. Over the past few years, We dealt with that extensively in our final Countdown Bible prophecy studies. The environmental movement is another smokescreen to get people involved with female goddess worship, Gaia, and many other beliefs they push, just as long as it is something that gets people away from the biblical God. They hook you by saying you will be saving the planet, but, in reality, you'll be tricked into worshiping the planet and doing what God said not to do in the book of Romans. Their God tells us we already have enough proof of his existence, but still people reject him, exchanging the truth for a lie.
Romans 1:25. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen.
That is pagan worship in a nutshell. They will worship trees, fleas, bees, rocks, themselves, and anything else, as long as it is not the true creator of all those things, which is God. Here are more of Budapest's efforts to spread witchcraft.
Budapest opened a shop, the Feminist Wicca, in Venice, California, and self-published a book that became a basic text of Dianic Wicca, the Feminist Book of Lights and Shadows, 1975, a collection of rituals, spells and lore. The book later was sold to a publisher and was released as the Holy Book of Women's Mysteries, Feminist Witchcraft, Goddess Rituals, Spellcasting and Other Womanly Arts, 1989. Budapest was arrested in 1975 for giving a tarot reading to an undercover policewoman. She was put on trial and lost, but the law prohibiting psychic readings was repealed 9 years later. Budapest did not form or join another coven but developed herself as a speaker, teacher, media personality, author and psychic reader. For a time, she hosted a radio program in the Bay Area.
Like Lori Cabot, Budapest still continues down this rebellious route today.
She also continues to lead rituals and hosts her own cable television show, 13th Heaven.
She's got a slew of other books that I'm not going to mention, but her impact with Dianic Wicca is seen in all the recruiting literature from her that has been successful at seducing women under the guise of feminism and female empowerment. She even put out college courses devoted to the goddess and women's spirituality movement, feminist witchcraft. We are told we can't have Christianity in our schools and colleges, but, apparently, they can teach witchcraft just because they call it the goddess, or women's spirituality, to make it appear legitimate as a class. But it is just witchcraft. That manipulation of our young women into the occult is allowed, but we cannot let our children and young people know about Christianity. Today, with just a simple name change, they slip in their witchcraft to indoctrinate our kids, while claiming the mention of a Christian option is indoctrination. Late teens and young women go off to school and get full-on indoctrinated into this Dianic Wicca version of witchcraft. So, that is all about Budapest, who is one of the prominent leaders, and there are others advancing Dianic Wicca, who also picked up on the feminist movement that came straight out of witchcraft. Let me give you another example of what was going on during this time from another witch promoting feminist witchcraft.
What other way are you gonna smash the patriarchy male system than with some good old-fashioned witchcraft? Led by a woman named Robin Morgan, WITCH, Women's International Terrorist Conspiracy from Hell, is my personal favorite example of women's liberation gone weird.
Which lives and laughs in every woman from the WITCH manifesto.
Which is an all-woman everything and that is everything with a capital E. It is theater, revolution, magic, terror, joy, garlic, flowers, spells. These women were angry, they were activists, and they really did not care what anyone thought of them.
But they also did not have things like Twitter and Facebook to spread their message.
So, if they were going to get media attention, they couldn't make something go viral on the internet, so they had to make something go viral on the ground. Hence, the witches cast hexes and zaps.
You make your own rules. You are both free and beautiful. You can make yourself invisible or evident in how you choose to make your witch self known.
Covens around the United States would get together, put on their witch gear, and go a-hexing. Double, double, war and rubble, mess with women, you'll be in trouble. Their zaps, as they refer to their demonstrations, included things like chanting around the New York Federal Building, "Assisto justice lies changed in time, we curse the ground on which she died." And who could forget the time when they hexed the Wall Street financiers, and the next day the Dow Jones dropped by 5 points. Witches have always been women who dared to be groovy, courageous, intelligent, nonconforming, explorative, curious, sexually liberated, and revolutionary. I forgot, independent, also, independent. And it's also worth noting that the Women's International Terrorist Conspiracy from Hell, which and all of their zaps and hexes and guerrilla theater, is following on the heels of a very successful 1968 Miss America pageant, which you have probably heard about, even if you don't realize that you're hearing about it, because this gathering of feminists brought their bras, and aprons, and girdles, and other artifacts of what they considered to be restrictive femininity and threw them into a trash can on the boardwalk.
And they wanted to light the whole thing on fire, but the cops were like, "Nah, y'all," and they were like, "Okay."
Witches were the first friendly heads and dealers, drug users and drug dealers, the first birth control practitioners and abortionists. Feminist witches? Oh, they're real all right.
So, from a different angle, another witch is admitting that feminist witches were behind the whole women's liberation movement, including abortion. In fact, most every liberal belief you can name is somehow tied to witchcraft. And witches admit it. Now, Dianic witchcraft, Wicca, is not just being spread here in America, they want to take it global. Let me quote more of what Zsuzsanna Budapest says, and it begins with her reference to the biblical god she refers to as patriarchal monotheism.
Patriarchal monotheism has worked to the detriment of women, it has glorified war and has permitted suffering for all. Her vision for the future is that of peace and abundance, expressed in female values, to dominate the world's consciousness. Global goddess consciousness means acknowledging the oneness of all as children of one mother, our beloved blue planet, the Earth, a female goddess.
So, what's their plan? What's their panacea to fix the ills of society? They tell us we need to get rid of this male, patriarchal god and switch to a female deity that will supposedly usher in an age of utopia. As crazy as that sounds, that is what they're working towards. And that brings us to the future aspect of this Dianic Wicca, with a lot of folks wondering if it may have a bit to do with scriptural prophecies in Revelation 17 about the harlot system, or one world religious system, that will work with the Antichrist. Some would say that the feminine term, harlot, is not by chance, because that might be what this one world religion will be promoting at that time of the 7-year tribulation. That movement might be telling us to shed our male, patriarchal god and follow a female goddess instead.
Revelation 17:3-6. Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet, and was glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand, filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. The name written on her forehead was a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes, and of the abominations of the earth. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of God's holy people, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus.
The system is going to go after anyone who does not go along with their system, which includes those saved after the rapture during the 7-year tribulation. That time will be a bloody mess, with the harlot system getting drunk on the blood of Christian people. Do we already see some of that with human sacrifice during today's occult practices? Unfortunately, yes. So, this passage is about the last days, global harlot, and one world religion system that initially works with the Antichrist up until a point when God judges the harlot during the 7-year tribulation. As we read further into Revelation 17 and 18, we see that God judges the harlot and allows the Antichrist to overtake and burn her with fire. But initially, she's the one in charge, because it's her that is pointed out as the one riding the beast. At first, she is in control as she professes to be building a utopia along with a political figure out of a revived Roman Empire. Also, some contend that there is even more here than female goddess, harlot, worship. That is also an analogy used in the Bible about those times when Israel turned away from God and sold themselves to other nations' false deities. That was considered prostitution, or harlotry, which is typically a female figure. The analogy certainly fits. It is about a kind of spiritual fornication or spiritual prostitution, if you will. So, there is that element, as well. As mentioned, some also see this future harlot system going the way of the feminine goddess worship, which contributes to it being so blasphemous. On top of those aspects, when we think about all this witchcraft we have been studying, like Dianic Wicca, our world surely seems ripe to move away from patriarchal, male, god worship to a female goddess worship. There are a multitude of angles pointing that way in our world today, so I want to quickly give you a couple of those. First is the religion that makes up close to 250 million people today, the Roman Catholic Church. And leaders teach them to worship an entity they call Mary. With that in mind, do you think Catholics would go along with the idea of worshipping some sort of a female deity? I think they would slide right into it. Some Eastern religions have a yin and yang principle that involves male and female duality. So, they are prone to jump on board. As we saw earlier, Hinduism has female deities like the goddess, Kali, that none of us would want to take out for lunch because she was all about blood and gore. She is just one of many female goddesses in Hinduism, which demonstrates a propensity toward female deities from another huge chunk of the planet. Do you think they would go along with the one-world harlot system? Absolutely. Speaking of the Antichrist and the woman that rides the beast, many believe the former comes out of a revived Roman Empire, which would be Europe. The European Union has picked their new symbol, which just happens to be a woman riding a beast. Of all things they could have chosen, why specifically that? And it's not just depicted with their statues. That new symbol also appears on their magazine and coinage. The idea behind it all is to supposedly build a utopia, where all countries and all religions of the world can come together, just as this pamphlet with the European Union symbol tells us. Their Europe 4 All-Star has all the different religions. That is their big plan. So, the push to bring all the world's people together under one umbrella is not only a political effort, it's also a religious movement. And hey, if you just rotate that star a little bit, what do you have? I'm not saying it is the devil's star, but that can easily be seen in it. That's kind of interesting too. What about the New Age and environmental movements? What do they worship? It's another feminine deity, Mother Earth. Those huge swaths of our world's population, along with what we are seeing in this chapter on Dianic Wicca, and even general Wicca witchcraft, is all about worship of a goddess. So, when you analyze the playing field, much of our planet and especially those open to witchcraft, are ripe for this switch over to a feminine deity. It's almost like there has been a plan for that, just as the Bible warns us. And on top of all that, dare I say, even the church is going along with this. We already saw witches claiming to be Christians. I'm sorry, but they are not Christian. Still, they call themselves Christian witches as they go straight to worshipping a coming feminine deity. And that reminds me of what God's word tells the church about what will happen to them during the last days.
2 Peter 2:1-2. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute.
You might be thinking that churches openly promoting female goddess worship cannot happen. But we've already seen this in the church, and I'll give you a couple of quick examples. With this first one, I'll just be blunt, these people claim to be Christians but, I'm sorry, if you really believe what I'm about to share with you, you are not Christian. And I think it is pretty apparent here with what this lady says, who considers herself to be a Christian feminist. For those wondering, that phrase is what we call an oxymoron. Other classic examples of an oxymoron pairing are, icy hot, peaceful war, and yummy chicken. These things do not exist. But let's move on to what this Christian feminist, Mary Daly, says about traditional Christianity.
To put it bluntly, I propose that Christianity itself should be castrated.
Can you sense anger here? Here's more.
The primary focus of the Christian feminist is to bring an end to what they perceive as a male-dominated religion. She continued by saying, I am suggesting that the idea of salvation uniquely by a male savior perpetuates the problem of patriarchal oppression.
Your suggestion won't change the fact that there is only one savior, he is male, and his name is Jesus. And if you want to disagree with that biblical reality, it means you are not trusting in Jesus, which shows you're not saved. The apostasy gets worse with www.herchurch.org and what I'm going to mention was still on their website when I checked recently. It's from Ebenezer Lutheran Church in San Francisco where they open their sanctuary on Wednesday nights for the
Christian Goddess Rosary. They say, the exclusive emphasis of Goddess Father supports a domination structure that oppresses and subordinates women. They also encourage people to pray the Hail Goddess prayer that states, Hail Goddess full of grace. Blessed are you and blessed are all the fruits of your womb. For you are the mother of us all.
That is nuts. This next quote shows how they want to deny who God is because they'd rather lie to children than tell them the truth of a male God. Jan Clanton, author of God, A Word for Girls and Boys, says this. Masculine God language hinders many children from establishing relationships of trust with God. In addition, calling God he causes boys to commit the sin of arrogance. Calling the supreme power of the universe he causes girls to commit the sin of devaluing themselves. For the sake of these little ones, we must change the way we talk about God. No, we must not. The truth is that he is God the Father, as well as God the Son and God the Spirit. You may not like that reality, but it won't change anything. You are entitled to an opinion but not your own facts. And God makes the rules. That is why he's called God. I don't know what your relationships with men have been in the past, and I'm sorry if they've been bad, but not all guys are undesirable, and even if they all were, God is a wonderful, loving Father that you need to turn to, even now, and be rescued from the deception you're living under. Of course, another heresy still being promoted in the church is the shack. It's one of the hottest books out there, and it's not only openly New Age in its doctrine, but actually presents God as a woman. That is in the church, folks. So, dare I say, those espousing that are professing Christians, who will be left behind at the rapture of the church because they are not real Christians. There are a lot of people who go to church services and profess to know Christ, but they don't belong to him. Those people are going to march right into the 7-year tribulation with their propensity for a female deity. So, if there is a societal change toward female, goddess, worship, even so-called Christians, in name only, are going to go along with that during the 7-year tribulation. All true Christians will be gone at the rapture. And this whole feminine deity scenario is already being heavily promoted worldwide. And if you don't think witches are also taking control of churches, you're wrong. This is an excerpt from a pastor warning about the influx of witchcraft into our churches.
The Christian church is now facing a head-on confrontation with the powers of darkness, witches. The spiritual battle in which we are now engaged has sharply increased in intensity during the last few years. The sad fact is that most sleepy Christians are so busy enjoying the world, they are almost completely oblivious of what is going on. The stark fact is that the forces of darkness, witches, are now clothing themselves in human form and sitting in our congregations, singing in choirs and working in various departments of our churches. Some witches appear content to just sit in congregations and mumble their incantations.
Hey, look, they are speaking in tongues, right? Wrong. They may be spitting out their ritual witchcraft verbiage right there next to you.
While others go out of their way to gain acceptance in a church and then carefully work their way into positions of influence. In fact, one practicing Satanist high priest had successfully gotten himself elected as secretary of a Baptist church. A witch with well-developed ESP can walk into any church and immediately sum up the situation.
They know who is a real Christian, and who's not, so they can go to those who are not and manipulate them to cause destruction in that church. This is what he says is going on, and I fully believe it, especially with some of the things we have seen and experienced here at Sunrise Bible Church over the years. I do not think it's all just by chance. I think it is all part of the spiritual warfare. Here is more.
It would not be possible to pass a phony Christian off onto an experienced witch. A witch is usually quicker to pick if a person is a Christian than a Christian is to discern the fact that she's a witch. A witch with well-developed clairvoyance can discern lustful relationships in a church without being told and then exploit them for Satan. This is done by putting spells on the minds of people so that the people are always tired and cannot think properly. They can afflict Christians with a whole variety of illnesses. Powerful witches can sometimes fix their gaze on a person and charm that person in a way similar to that of an Indian snake charmer handling a cobra. If she succeeds in doing this, she will then proceed further and get the person to do her bidding.
Remember, we are talking about what is going on inside the church and during church services. This is not something out in the public.
A witch will buy the loyalty of people by giving them presents, sometimes very expensive presents. By this method, witches gain a hold over people. Witches can afflict people with deep oppression. This oppression can be so severe that the person concerned loses all desire to live, death is preferable. Witches can cause a heavy, oppressive atmosphere in a church meeting, so that people feel tired and cannot concentrate on the message.
Have you had that happen? Obviously, I have a good vantage point to see the congregation as I preach. Yes, there have been some falling asleep, as well as others heading to the bathroom again even though they went right before the service. Still others seem antsy as they are up and moving around more than usual and make me wonder what is going on that day. People can seem perky at the beginning of the service, but as soon as the sermon starts, they begin to fall asleep. My point is this: is that all just by chance, or is there something else contributing? I'm not trying to get us all freaked out whenever we're sitting in church services, but I think we've got to realize this spiritual warfare can happen. We can even be in a church service where a faithful pastor is truly preaching the Word of God, but if you don't pay attention because of so many distractions, or you're just falling asleep, you're going to get nothing out of it. Week after week after week after week, in many churches today, this oppression is being done deliberately by anti-Christians sitting in our midst. Here is more on that.
This oppression can only be removed by the Lord's people praying against it. If they do not have sufficient knowledge of how it is done, or how to remove it, then the heavy atmosphere will remain. Witches can send demons into churches to disrupt worship services and prayer meetings. They can set Christians against each other by gossip and slander. They can break up Christian marriages by seducing spouses or maneuvering them into a compromising situation. They can easily demoralize weak Christians and cause them to fall away. They can display psychic abilities and deceive some Christians into thinking that their powers are God-given, which happens in the charismatic movement. A powerful witch is able to create irrational fears in a person and also to increase pain. The witch does not have to be present to do these things. They can be done from a distance. Now, if all this information is mind-boggling and some readers find it almost too incredible to be believed, I simply remind them that things are changing rapidly. Everything is changing. The whole structure of our society is in a state of spiritual upheaval, and nowhere is this change more apparent than on the spiritual scene.
Here are some keys to notify you of a witch in the midst of your congregation.
Number 1. They do not possess the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, etc. Number 2. They sometimes, though not always, wear occult jewelry, often hidden. Number 3. They eyeball people by maintaining a fixed gaze. Number 4. Some witches practice charming and may do this by an almost continual smile.
With that last one, they are trying to charm you. Here at Sunrise Bible Church, if that goofy smile lasts for more than 30 seconds, in love, we smack them. Seriously though, that kind of smiling Christian could just be a happy Christian. I hope that is the case, but that can be another technique used by witches in a church. Here are more.
Number 5. They will invariably avoid the true, born-again, and spirit-filled Christians because such Christians are a threat to them. Number 6. Witches will attempt to buy loyalty by giving people gifts, often very expensive gifts. These gifts are sometimes given for no apparent reason. Number 7. Witches go out of their way to cultivate a wide circle of friends in all walks of life. This is done deliberately so that in the event of anything going wrong, they will have a lot of people who will stand by them and defend them, and remember the fact that many of these people are already under the witch's control, or at least obligated to her in some way.
So, the witch sets up relationships to enlist possibly needed defenders, who will come to their rescue if caught pulling off their sabotage. At the time of uncovering evil done by the witch, you can imagine the sorts of responses from those who have gotten close to the witch without knowing the occult secret. They will claim, "Oh, come on. She would never do that." Or, "He would never say that."
Number 8. Witches are liars. This is only natural because of their constant association with demons.
You can confront a witch on his or her true identity, or one of their dirty deeds, but they can still lie straight to your face. At the same time, those they've been working near and made friends with will come to their rescue, sincerely believing that undercover witch that is pretending to be part of the church would never do or say something awful like that. And then the victim of the witch's true actions can be made to look like a goober for pointing the undercover witch out. That can happen even when it was not some mistake by the well-meaning Christian, but an actual ruse by someone involved in witchcraft. He concludes with this.
Had we understood the scriptures better, we surely would have expected this in the last days.
He is talking about having silent saboteur witches and other occult practitioners infiltrating our church services. How does knowing our Bibles help us with that? It's because the Bible warns that this will happen. However, since churches today do not preach on Bible prophecy or occult practices, no one understands what is happening under their nose. They do not even know what to look for. He goes on with his conclusion.
Large numbers of Christians have lost their biblical balance and do not see demons as being responsible for anything. They see corruption, crime, violence, immorality, and all kinds of perversion, and just accredit it all to human nature.
So, they act like it's just a psychological aberration when it's really occult mischief.
Unfortunately, the church in these last days has become so worldly and materialistic that it is no longer any real threat to its enemies. I constantly hear Christians talk about spiritual warfare and putting on the armor of God, etc., but it would appear with most, their knowledge of these things is theoretical rather than experimental. They are familiar with the jargon, but that is as far as it goes.
Now, if you want proof of what I'm outlining here, Becky, from our church here in Las Vegas, happened to be at a restaurant recently and took a photo of something that speaks to this stuff spreading. This photo Becky took is of a young lady in line. What is this young woman proudly displaying in public? She is saying, "Let's summon demons." Just like people here in Las Vegas will wear, "Go Vegas," or "Go Vegas Knights," or "Vegas Raiders," what is this young witch promoting for all to see? She's telling people to connect with demons. And even worse, she is including children in the practice, depicting kids sitting around a witch's circle and even one child laying on the satanic pentagram. What? Oh, and you know what this woman was carrying right out in the open? It's the Book of Spells. Just as we Christians openly carry our Bible, or at least I hope we do, she was flaunting her demonic book. That is how commonplace the practice is becoming these days. Witches are no longer hiding it. She is saying, "I'm going to display my craft, even at a restaurant." That's what's going on, and we need to wake up to this reality. And if you do not think they're actually trying to come into the church, you are kidding yourself. Even in our church services, we have been disrupted many times. I'm not saying it's demonic every time, but I have no doubt that some have been the result of spiritual warfare. If we look at the conflicts we have had over the years, the testing we've gone through, and other weird things that have gone on, I don't think it's all been just natural occurrences. We do not have to be afraid of that spiritual evil because, as true born-again Christians, we pray, seek God, and stand in Him. We know that greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. We don't need to be afraid, but we also don't want to be foolish and act like this evil doesn't go on. When it does happen, we need to deal with it. The worst thing a Christian in the church can do is to know that there is a conflict going on and then do nothing about it. That issue is not always natural. It could be someone trying to take you out because you are doing the right thing. We do not have to be afraid, but let's also not be foolish. And some of these spiritual warfare issues are why we live in a time that is being considered the season of the witch. Notice it is not the season of the Christian because we're long gone. Instead, some say it's the season of the witch. Let me give you a couple of parts of an article about that.
Rapper Azalea Banks brought witchcraft back into the mainstream by tweeting, "I'm really a witch." But women in the U.S. have been harnessing its power for decades as a spiritual but not religious way to express feminist ambitions. Then Banks joked that racism might end a lot sooner if black people could make their enemies sicken and die with a thought.
How does the media and the public allow her to get away with a statement like that? And again, where is that leftist mentality of racism coming from? It is from witchcraft. The article goes on to say witchcraft stands for girl power, and notice how all these cultural aspects are getting blended together into witchcraft.
A popular Tumblr blog, Charmcore, purports to be run by three witch sisters. It gives sarcastic magical advice and praise of the female celebrities it deems to be obvious witches. On the more serious side, teen sensation Rookie magazine has published tarot tutorials along with more standard issue feminist and fashion advice, and Autostraddle, a popular left-leaning blog for young queer women, has an in-house tarot columnist. To reclaim the word witch is to reclaim our right as women to be powerful. To be a witch is to identify with 9 million victims of bigotry and hatred and to take responsibility for shaping a world in which prejudice claims no more victims.
They want to reshape it in the image of their goddess, feminine, worship and away from any male-dominated doctrine. Here is more from a witch about how the merge happened with feminism and witchcraft.
In the 1970s, with the resurgence of the feminist movement, a lot of us began to investigate a feminist spirituality and the goddess traditions of Europe and the Middle East.
There is the merger being explained by a practicing witch. Here is more from the article.
Wicca, with its focus on a goddess, instead of a male god, and its relatively open approach to creating the canon, was a natural fit for many feminist women interested in writing their own spiritual script. Not only did women make feminist tarot cards in the 1970s, but feminist psychologists also wrote books on using goddess imagery and myths as means of understanding female subjectivity.
So, as we already know well from previous studies, secular psychology works at sucking people into occult practices. The article even admits that.
With the spells and rituals, you can participate effectively in left-wing activism.
Just as we saw in a previous chapter, over the years, there has been a huge influx of occult practices into the Democrat Party. Who is behind the leftist mentality being promoted in our country today? It's not just feminism, it's feminist witchcraft. Here is the last part of this article with witches making this claim.
I think one of the biggest conspiracies of a male-dominated society is the suppression of feminine intuition.
Now put all those aspects of feminist witchcraft together and it tells you why so many witches absolutely cannot stand President Trump. They are not just praying against President Trump because these leftists disagree with him on abortion and all the other anti-God beliefs that, frankly, much of the Democrat movement now supports. On top of that, it is really the double wrong he poses against them because he dares to be an outspoken and strong manly man. The last thing you can have in feminist or witchcraft circles is a manly man who will not bow a knee to women. That is the bigger reason as to why they hate the guy. And it is why they continue to pray against him to this day as they work at putting spells and hexes on him. In fact, here are two witch store owners from Salem, Massachusetts, who are admitting they hate President Trump because he is a strong male figure and they can't allow that in their world of women-centered witchcraft.
Erica Feldman, owner of House, Witch. Witches have always been somewhat feminist. We have been fighting for the right to be treated correctly. Lorelei Stithopoulos, owner of Crow Haven Corner. Witches are what men like Donald Trump are afraid of. Reporter. Witches, the word alone immediately conjures up certain images in our minds. But what does it really mean to be a witch today? Salem, Massachusetts, a place known for trying and executing accused witches, is now affectionately called Witch City. And it seems that a growing number of young women and some men are being drawn to a brand of witchcraft and it's political. Feldman. I use the term, witch, to describe myself. I usually cite the acronym, Woman in Total Control of Herself.
I am the owner of House Witch Home and Healing, in Salem, Massachusetts.
I practice witchcraft. I pull tarot cards. I have crystals everywhere. I make shrines. I cast spells. I meditate. But it's sort of a political distinction and I think it, like, speaks to my radical feminism. Reporter.
Both male and female witches are studying the craft under a longtime Salem witch and clairvoyant, Lorelei Stithopoulos.
You'll notice a significant difference in how the more traditional witches look and practice. Stithopoulos. I'm what you call a natural witch. I started at about 12. My mother practiced.
The thing about the new word, feminist, it's a great thing but it's something that we've been doing for years.
Feldman.
After the election, especially, you know, I think what the witch is good for is being a force of divine feminine power. And witches are what men like Donald Trump are afraid of.
So, it's like this perfect symbol. Reporter.
A coven has formed around Erica's store, made up of an astrologist, Reiki masters, and healers, including Erica's fiancé, Melissa, who does Salem witch tours with a feminist focus.
Possibly the astrologist witch. This isn't your grandmother's coven. It's youthful, light, and trendy. Though some are embracing the word, the term, witch, has been used to ignite fear and shame. Reporter.
It wasn't until early 20th century that women's magazines started portraying witches as beautiful and desirable. This trend continued with the success of the TV show, Bewitched, in the 60s. The 60s also brought us a feminist group, Women's International Terrorist Conspiracy from Hell, or Witch, who protested patriarchy by carrying out witch-themed political stunts. In 1985, Wicca, an offshoot of witchcraft, was recognized as a religion by the United States. In recent years, we've seen witches and non-witches publicly reclaiming the title.
Feldman.
The powerful are scared of this figure, who has, like, traditionally been pretty powerless,
but now that's not the case.
Reporter questioning Feldman, whether it's Trump or all these like sexual assault cases, Do you think that actually ends up creating more witches?
Feldman.
Totally.
The Me Too movement, that's what you're seeing. It's dark. It feels bad.
And now this is the only way that we are going to start to heal it, is by, you know, ripping this band-aid off and all coming together.
And to me, that sounds like a coven of witches. Reporter.
As young people become less religious in this country, witches like Lorelei and Erica continue to see their covens grow.
Their mindset comes just in time for the 7-year tribulation. Revelation 9 tells us there will not only be an increase of pharmakia that goes along with sorcery and witchcraft, but if there is a societal switch to a feminine deity worship, these people will most likely be in favor of it. And here is what the left is saying right now that demonstrates the spiritual battle we face.
In the coming months, the results of the 2020 election will define the country for a generation. These are perilous times. Over the last 4 years with the Trump administration, much of what we hold dear has been threatened. The country is at a crossroads. The Supreme Court hangs in the balance, and with it, the future of abortion and voting rights, healthcare, climate policy, and much more.
They admit that is what they believe and promote, while those standing in the way are President Trump and any Christian who would stand up for biblical values. They admit we are in a spiritual war. So, we need to wake up. And we can sure feel it going into this 2020 election as the atmosphere is really coming to a boil. They are saying this is not just an election, but it's the future direction of our country. So, as a nation, are we going to continue to limp along, hopefully more towards God or at least back that way? Or are we going to go headlong over the cliff, falling into flat-out occultism? That is what is on the line with this election. In the next chapter, we'll focus on the beliefs and then the practices of Wicca. What do Wiccans believe, what do they do when they gather together in their covens with their Shabbats or Espots, and what kind of spells and ritual work do they practice?